Welcome to another episode of Ordinary Old Catholic Me. I started thinking about this program in the early morning today, September the 9th, 2023, close to 1 a.m. I couldn't sleep, although my eyes were heavy, in contradiction. I wanted to sleep, but my mind kept running. That's not unusual, really, but today, so early, it was the subject that was different from the usual, although the event, a funeral of a friend, is not in and of itself unusual. After all, we all die. This death, the one on my mind, was long in coming. After a purgatorial period of over 8 years as dementia robbed Veronica, that is my friend's name, of her memory of her whole life, and a long and profitable in the spiritual and emotional sense, it was 99 years, just shy of 100. Let me read you her obituary. There are some individuals whose devotion to God and to neighbor is palpable and unswerving. Veronica Mary Simons, who died on August 10, age 99, at Marycrest Manor in Culver City, was one such individual. They are rare, and those who meet them know they have been given a gift and a role model. Veronica was born in Shenandoah, Pennsylvania in 1923 to Polish immigrants Sophie and Simon Semenovich. She was sister to Anne, Florence, Marcella, and Sam, all of whom predeceased her. Veronica was a beautiful and petite young woman when she and her sister Florence came to Los Angeles, where they rented a room from a kind couple near Western Avenue. They later moved to a small apartment on Palm Avenue until Florence married. Joined by her Siamese cat, Veronica moved first to an apartment on Doheny Drive and then to an Art Deco apartment at the top of the hill on Crescent Heights, in a neighborhood famously destroyed by a devastating fire in the early 1970s. Finally, she moved to Holloway Drive near her beloved St. Victor Parish. Veronica largely worked in the restaurant hospitality business, first at Laurie's on La Cienega Boulevard in Los Angeles, and for 35 years at the historic celebrity-frequented restaurant The Cock and Bull on Sunset Boulevard. She was known for her ability to remember large orders and her charm. Veronica was also known for her personal hospitality and dinner parties at her apartment. But Veronica's heart always was with serving God as a faithful Roman Catholic, and in the early 1970s, she committed her life as a consecrated laywoman to him at a ceremony presided over by the late Father Hampsch at the Basilica of the Annunciation in Nazareth, Israel. She was an ardent pro-life advocate, proud of her 3 arrests in Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., and San Bernardino at peaceful prayer rallies to save the preborn. She brought communion to the sick at their homes and at health care facilities as an extraordinary minister from the moment that ministry became available to lay people. For many years, she held a weekly prayer group at her apartment. She taught many how to become closer to our Lord through Mary by praying the rosary. She was part of the hospitality group at the Southern California Renewal Community, a charismatic group. She organized and led the St. Victor Parish Legion of Mary for many years. She helped to catechize and sponsor many to Catholicism. Veronica, a daily communicant, was as close as anyone could be to her parish, living, for some 45 years, right next door. Faith, hope, and love for the Holy Trinity were her pillars. She traveled extensively, especially to the sites of God's miracles through Our Lady, like Lourdes, Fatima, Guadalupe, and Medjugorje. In her early 90s, Veronica became a resident at Marycrest Manor, where she was ministered to by the Carmelites, the staff, and since 2018, the extra-caring hand of Mickey. In the early days, Veronica used to ask, "What is the Lord waiting for in bringing her home to him?" His purpose may well have been suffering for the salvation of souls and the reparation of sin, but it was clear to so many that she also was enduring purgatory on earth. It is not hard to imagine that she is experiencing the beatific vision as those who are left behind say their farewells. But prayers will always be coming her way, and we know that she is praying for us. Veronica is survived by nieces, grandnieces, grandnephews, and many, many friends whose lives she richly touched. The last thing to go for Veronica, in her memory, at least to our view, was her overt expression of her faith, her Catholic faith. But even when she forgot it, it surrounded her in the presence of those Carmelites who run the residence in which she spent really nearly a decade. And even when she forgot it, when she could no longer speak or recognize those who came to see her, which of course was made nearly impossible during the COVID lockdown, she had a kind of spiritual glow, as if in some way she was communing with God, who told her that she had to wait for a while still in a kind of silent prayer for the whole world falling apart around her. It is hard not to remember your death when you're standing close to the bier and the shell of what was once body joined with soul. If you want proof of the reality of the animating force of life, the soul, spend time close to a loved one in death, and you will know by its absence, its inherent tangibility, and the truth of the source of both, the Creator God. And the absolute foolishness of our attachments to this world, that's the other pressing reality that is manifest as one looks down into a coffin about to be closed and committed to the earth until it resolves into a dew, Hamlet, and time itself concludes. And still, I noticed, about myself at least, the concerns and anxieties of this world were still holding me fast. How slowly do I learn to trust God? As Veronica reminded us to do, her faith community friends, despite a crystal clear awareness, intellectually at least, that a total abandonment is the only direction that makes sense, not only as a means to reach Him, to reconnect with God, a reconnection made possible by the cross and resurrection, but also in order to achieve peace and happiness while we still live. While we live. There isn't much time to learn that in a whole life, and me, very close to its end, statistically speaking, for sure. One of Veronica's close friends had the prescience to video some of the things she said when she first came to her final residence to be cared for, and was speaking much, though with some serious digressions born of a failing memory, more about the faith to which she was so devoted, in my view, in a way that you can only read about in books on the saints. Like the canonized saints, she had her rough edges. She could be incredibly stubborn about practical things. The same friend who took early video of her once went with her to some business that required ID, and though Veronica was told by this friend that ID was required, she insisted that it wasn't. And of course, she was turned away. I get the impression that despite the confirmation of her mistake, she wasn't quite ready to concede to it. If she wanted you to participate in some activity at the parish or elsewhere, she could be unrelenting, even if you had made it crystal clear that it wasn't, let's say, your charism or even in your comfort zone. Some people, even Catholics, thought her to be too pious. My personal sense was that while I would never approach my faith with the correction, couldn't approach my faith with the single-mindedness she did, perhaps more as the pity, she was a person who kept us all aware of the prize and reminded us not to be distracted. She often referred to things that had happened in her life that she called tragedies, but when you asked about them, she would decline detail, saying, "I don't want to talk about it," though of course she just had enough to create curiosity. In her later years, she would tell you she was in pain, though there had been nothing diagnosed, really, and she seemed physically in pretty good stead, and when you asked her about the pain and what it was like, she would only say, "Pain is pain," which of course clarified nothing. Like many elderly people when she lived alone, She refused to do the things that would keep her from harm, like taking up her area rugs or drinking water to stay hydrated and eating the food that many people would bring to her to keep her weight up. She had a lifeline, but she refused to wear it, saying that God would protect her. I will never forget some medical professional who came to the house, whom she said that to, who replied, "But God won't pick you up from the floor if you fall." She would have begged to disagree, but like those canonized saints, she purveyed her faith by her very being and by her evangelistic activism unceasingly. We live in a world, and even in a Catholic world, where when someone dies, there is this immediate assumption that a good person, as the world and progressive faith reckon goodness, goes directly to heaven. Today, an SSPX priest, Society of St. Pius, I know, who was a good friend of Veronica's, and before his ordination was a fellow parishioner who prayed at abortion clinics and was arrested for those so-called protests, that even Teresa of Avila, I think that's who he said it was, had to genuflect in purgatory. I never heard that. Well, for my money, I'd say that Veronica was in that sort of company. That 8 years of devolution due to dementia seems to me, and I speak entirely personally, not theologically, to have been the largest part of her purgatory, as the obituary said. In New York, when I was growing up, and still, wakes were a big thing, and lots of people came to them. Here in California, I think wakes are called visitations, and in my observation, not many people come to them. Veronica had some, now it's yesterday, but it wasn't a huge crowd. Is it that being close to the dead is too much of a reminder of something that people now still pretend won't touch them, where in days past it was so very much an inevitability to be acknowledged? And back then, as Catholics acknowledged, we knew that death was a door to something more, not an end. Death continues, but it isn't a victor anymore, we know as Catholics, but maybe we really don't believe in our heart of hearts. And as Catholics, one might even say, it is our duty to believe it. It is an article of faith. I finally got tired last night, or this morning, enough to sleep, I thought. And besides, the funeral had not yet happened. It was like 9 hours away, and I knew that when this day was concluded, I might have more to add to my thoughts about the death of a friend and death in general and our faith and the promises made to us if we focus on the end for which we are meant, to be with God in perfect happiness. Of course, I just couldn't sleep still. I think I fell asleep around 3 or 4 and woke up at about, 7. Veronica's great age was such that many people she once knew there have been long gone, and though it isn't a measure of her goodness or impact on the world, I did find myself wanting the church to have a good showing of those who came to say goodbye. She had done what few do and ought to do, that is, to plan the readings and the music well ahead of time. She even hoped to, and did, have music during the Rosary, the Magnificat, and the Te Deum. I was and remain so keyed up as one of those who implemented her plan for the service that I do not think I've yet absorbed the event yet. I do know that as the coffin was being rolled up the aisle by the pallbearers, mostly friends and one niece, and the last bars of the hymns were played, I began to tear up with the realization that another soldier for Christ had moved closer to his orbit. It was what she always wanted, to be with him. The challenge for us left behind is truly to want what she did and not to be weighed down, as alas most of us are, as I know I am, as I have been for weeks now, and before that on and off my whole life, to the troubles of this world writ large and small. I remember thinking in my time regarding her that she had closed out the realities of the world, and that this wasn't entirely healthy because some of the realities were quite nice. She watched nothing but EWTN, the Eternal Word television network that programs entirely Catholic documentaries and films and stories. One of the people who spoke during the reception after the service noted that because of this laser faith, she was often misunderstood, even by priests. People, including priests, actually considered her too holy, as if that's a thing. And I admit, I was sometimes put off by the mention of God in every sentence. Is that not interesting? A Catholic put off by too much talk of God? But this way of being in her case, I think in some ways, not entirely, was later life. I met her when she was already in her 60s because I know before that she had dinner parties and she had brushed with fame as a waitress and hostess at the Cock and Bull restaurant on Sunset Boulevard, as the obituary noted, where many old-time celebrities used to go. But when I knew her, and as long as I knew her, she was entirely focused on one thing, getting back to God. In fact, the story is, I don't know how true it is, that she had worked for the Cock and Bull for 35 years, and usually they would let her off on Good Friday. But one year they said, nope, you can't take off on Good Friday, and she quit. And what she did in her life is what we're all called to do, to detach from the transitory things of the world. She understood the Ignatian concept of using the things of the world if they bring you closer to God, and to the extent that they do not, you must let them go, because they will distract you from the narrow road. But as my friend and her friend said, hers was a simple, in the best sense, direct faith. And we could all use that if we want to get to heaven. Truthfully, I sometimes nearly despair over my lack of faith and trust, and I have to remind myself that this is the devil trying to turn me away. And I gotta say, it is quite the battle. We need more Veronicas to keep us honest and persevering in that battle. Finally, I had known her since about 1983, 40 years. I knew her far longer than I knew my own mother, who died when I was 20. And so, in a way, I guess Veronica was, not just to me, but was to me, a spiritual mother. Even as I, and if I resisted her single-mindedness, perhaps out of an embarrassment to be seen by the world as crazy, which is what people call someone like her. Crazy like a fox, wouldn't you say? Here's something she used to say that demonstrates her perceptive single-mindedness, the kind that probably means she is indeed in heaven and sharing in that beatific vision. I wish I could say it with the tone that she said it in one of the videos taken by my friend. She had already begun to forget many, many things and knew that she couldn't do the things she used to, which is why she needed a special care. But this is what she said. Trust God for everything. God is good. Time is nothing. God is forever. Remember that. There are always problems, but you know that. We're in time. We want to be in God's time, which is forever in His love. No question about it. Ain't that the truth? God is forever, and we foolishly cling to time, which is always short, no matter how many years we are given to live. Veronica was a bulwark of truth about our relationship with God. I hope I remember her lessons. These last several weeks, almost a month, it's been really hard to get to this program and to try to present it. But I am happy to say that despite an incredible amount of busyness today, including the funeral of my dear friend Veronica, I have a program about Veronica and the things she taught me and others of us. I hope you enjoy this program, and if you do so, it would be great if you tell your friends about it. I'd like to get as many people listening as possible. I have to admit, it encourages me. Perhaps that's vanity, but I need the encouragement in order to persevere. I need the grace of God, of course, but I need your human encouragement as well. Take care. Talk to you next week.